It is always a joy to see people follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. I was just reflecting on what Pastor said. He talked about sandbagging. And you know, I became familiar with that term not when they were sandbagging, but when we played sports in Wisconsin, they would use that term, and sometimes I think they would yell it at me. I wasn't sure what they meant by it. I think I do now. But it was interesting when Dave Heisterkamp and Pastor Pat and myself and our wives were out in California. We were going to a service, and Dave and I went in and sat down, and Pastor Pat couldn't find him. So Dave and I looked at each other, and we said, he's probably sandbagging it. But he did show up, and Amy really will fill you in. This is Amy Deem, and she'll fill you in a little bit on what took place that day, maybe even a few things prior to that, as she came to know the Lord on that day.
I've always believed in God, but I never went to church. Last year, I lost two of my grandparents within a five-month time, and I've had a really hard time dealing with that. Devin Shin went to college with me, and she's been trying for several years to get me to come to church here, but I was never ready to come. As the year anniversary in February came, I kind of decided I needed something new in my life, and so I asked her if I could come to church with her. And I've been coming since then, and every Sunday we go out to breakfast and talk about the service that morning and my thoughts and feelings from it. And the one question that got to me was when she asked me what I thought it took to get to heaven, and I decided that that was a place I wanted to go when my time came. So on March 5th, I finally returned Pastor Nemer's call. He was in California, but he took the time to talk to me. It had only taken me a week to call him back, so it was very nice of him to talk to me. We just had a really long conversation about my beliefs and what I thought it took to get to heaven and trusting God. And when he told me that all it took to be saved was to put my trust in God and to admit that I was a sinner and ask for forgiveness, I thought it sounded way too simple. And so we talked about it, and he quoted some scripture for me. And by the end of our conversation, I put my trust in God, and I got down on my knees to pray, and I asked for forgiveness for the sins that I had committed in my life. Since then, I've joined the singles group here at church and have been doing some Bible study with Devin. And I just feel so at peace. I feel like I've gained some new friends and some new perspective on life.
So, Amy, you have accepted the Lord as your Savior.
I have.
You know you're headed to heaven.
I am.
Praise the Lord. Let's just pray for Amy and her testimony. Father, thank you so much for Amy and how you have worked in her life to bring her to the knowledge of your word, where it promises whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And, Father, we're thankful for her testimony. We ask that you might bless and direct each step of her way as she seeks to walk with you. Thank you for her display of this faith by being baptized. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Amy, just step this way. Amy, because of your testimony and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. We have Ken and Kathy with us, Gautry, that have been coming up to services, I suppose, for the last several months, even maybe a little bit longer than that. And I was able to meet, actually, I met Ken's brother, Mark, and his sister-in-law, Paula, first, and then I got to know Ken as well. But I'm going to have Ken just share his story of how he came to know the Lord. Ken.
Thank you, Chuck. Oh, I guess I'd like to start out just by saying that I am a sinner. I have been for a long, long time. you know, I've been given a lot of thought about what to say, and at the beginning I was thinking about talking about a lot of the things that I've done in my past, and I will touch on that a little bit, but I started realizing that this isn't about me, this is about God and Jesus Christ. And I realized that, you know, this is one of the happiest days of my life. And it's a day that I'll never forget. And I think it's especially important to me because it's also Father's Day. And, you know, the Father in heaven has blessed me in ways that I could have never imagined. I'm very grateful that I got what I got and not what I deserve. You know, I am. I am. You know, I was raised in a Catholic school system, and I had a loving family, but, you know, there was a lot of addictions going on in my family, you know, alcohol and stuff, and sometimes there was a little bit of violence in there, and, you know, so at a very young age, I didn't know what else to do, where I could turn when I was, you know, filled with fear and anxiety, and so at a very early age, I started turning to God, because I know I couldn't depend on my brothers or my mom to protect me from my dad when he would get drunk, and so I had no, and I knew that we don't dare call the police, you know. So I turned to God at a very young age, and even though I didn't have a very good understanding of him, I truly believed that there was a God and that there was Jesus Christ. And as I got older, you know, and looked back, I could see that, hey, this is for real. I mean, you know, he got me through those times, and nothing happened to me. And so I always believed that. But then I got into my later years, in my teenage years, and, you know, and I got started becoming rebellious and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I took on my own addictions, you know, the alcohol and the drugs. And that went on for a number of years. And when I was, I don't know, I think I was 22 at the time when I got married and started having kids, and those were wonderful things in my life. But I was hurting those people with my addictions. And so I cleaned up my act for a while there, and I started going to AA. And after a while, after many, many years in the program and stuff, I started turning away from God again. You know, AA brought me back to God. Well, I started turning away from God again. And I started to have self-will run riot. I mean, whatever was best for me, that's all that mattered. Nobody else mattered. And here a few years ago, I had a business, and it was starting to tank, and I was filled with fear and anxiety, and I didn't know what else to do, so I turned to the bottle again and to the drugs. And my wife of 28 and a half years, to protect herself and the family, divorced me. And I'd like to say that I lost everything, but I really didn't lose anything. I gave it all away. It was my doing. You know, I got to take responsibility for that. But the fact of the matter is it all went away, you know. And all those things that I thought were important, some of them were and many of them weren't. About a year ago, I was at my bottom, and I had nowhere else to go. And so I called up my brother and his wife that had just moved to Ankeny just within the past few months and asked them if I could come and stay with them, and they allowed me to do so, and I'm very grateful for that. I returned to going to AA, and I started getting back some of that spirituality that I had before. And then out of nowhere comes Chuck to clean, you know, and I got to tell you, this was a trip. Chuck came with the study guides, and you know, and he was pointing out it was the part about the being saved. Can you actually know if you're saved? And he was, you know, pointing me in the Bible, or pointing us into the Bible about where it says in there that we're going to be saved and stuff. You know, and I was a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm buying all this yet, you know. And I thought he was cherry-picking through the Bible, just finding the verses to suit his needs, you know. But then the more he started coming around, the more I started getting interested, and all of a sudden I started reading the Bible, you know. And first of all, I was doing it only because that was kind of the assignment that Chuck had given us, you know. But then I started reading more and more, and all of a sudden I started seeing everywhere in the Bible where it's saying these things. So then I realized it was real. It wasn't Chuck's version, you know. And my life started changing, you know. It started changing for the best. And all of a sudden the things that were important to me before started coming back. You know, my family, my wife, Kathy. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I ruined her financially. I ruined myself financially. I ruined her emotionally. You know, spiritually, I mean, the things that I did, I am so ashamed of today. But it took those things to get me to where I'm at today. And she's accepted me back, you know. In due time here, we're going to be married again. She's my fiance. She calls me her fiance B. Anyway, I got to tell you, I'm just so grateful that I have Jesus Christ in my life today, in God. I mean, I just can't even put it into words how grateful I am. I mean, because without that, none of this would have happened. I mean, when Kathy started talking to me again and stuff, she didn't talk to me because I'm this special person and this love of her life and all this. She started seeing a change in me, you know. And she started realizing that she was looking at my heart. She wasn't looking at anything else. And she realized there was a change going on. And she still was questioning whether it was real. But in time, she saw that it was real. And I am, and it is real for me. And I am so grateful. I mean, there's no way I could repay the things that have happened to me. And it all came through Jesus Christ. You know, he died on the cross for my sins and the sins of all of us. And without that, I tell you, I'd be in a really bad place today. And I feel so grateful that there is forgiveness. Yeah. Anyway, I've been kind of babbling on long enough, but I just want to tell you thank you all.
Kathy, why don't you share your testimony?
Well, I'm not the talker of the family, so mine's going to be short and sweet. I've had a relationship with God for about 27 years, but I didn't really know what that meant because I was not raised in a home with the Lord. I was kind of a Heinz 57. We would go to one church for a while until my father got mad at that minister because of something he said. Then we'd go to another church. So I've been a lot of different religions, but when my relationship with Ken came to an end, it was one of the hardest things I've ever been through, and I thank God that he was with me, but it still, that wasn't enough. I contemplated suicide, and something just told me to just go get the little Bible and start reading. So I started reading the Bible. Didn't make a lot of sense to me. I didn't really understand it. But I kept doing it, and I did it every day. And then one day I was praying for the soldiers, and it just came to me. That's what Jesus did for me. He died on the cross. He sacrificed his life for me, just like the soldiers do for our freedom. And after that, whenever I read the Bible, it started to make sense to me. And then Ken started to invite me to this Bible study that they were having at my sister-in-law's house, and I was like, oh, I don't know, but I really wanted to do it, and so I met Chuck, and the rest is history. So that's how I came to the Lord, and I feel blessed, and I know that Jesus is my Savior, and I know that when I die, I'm going home.
Amen.
So.
Thank you for your testimony. Do you have your handkerchief?
Yeah.
Kathy, based on your testimony and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ken, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Savior, let's just stamp this a little with this.
Good idea.
Yeah. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Once again, I want to wish everyone here, every man here that happens to be a father, a very happy Father's Day. And I know that not everyone has happy memories of their father. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would guess that there would be some of you that would not have real happy memories of your dad. And I'm sorry to hear that. I was taking a group of wrestlers on a trip a couple of years ago, actually, for Seidel, and they're actually junior hires, and the whole van full of kids, and I was getting to know them as we were going from one place to another, and every single one of them came from a broken home. Every one of them came from a broken home. And in the back was one young man. I said, so who are you with? He said, I'm with my mom. I said, where's your dad live? He said, I don't know. And then he paused and he said, he's a bad man. And my heart was so broken for him. Because I thought of my own dad. And I have great, great memories of my dad. I'm glad he's still alive. I feared my dad. I feared my dad growing up. And I loved him at the same time. Because he beat the tar out of me. When I was naughty. And he would praise me when I was good. I didn't get a lot of praise. Because I wasn't that good. But when he walked up on that platform last week, I lost it. Because I love my dad. My kids joke with me a lot about my voice. That they can always hear my voice. You know, it doesn't matter what they're doing, they can hear me yelling at them, you know. I'm talking about sports now. I yell at them a few other times too, but whether they're wrestling or playing basketball or something, you know, I always hear my voice, they make jokes of it. And I probably made jokes about my dad's voice too, but I will never, never forget the voice of my father. It didn't matter how big or how loud the crowd, I could hear his voice. He didn't know beans about wrestling, but I could hear his voice yelling at me. It always stood out, and it demanded my attention. When Father God speaks, his voice stands out too, and it demands our attention. The Lord Jesus said, he who's of God hears God's words. Have you ever read that? And I'd like to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 16, if you have a Bible this morning. And we won't take a long time, just a running commentary of this passage. And really what amounts to a week in the life of the disciples, and particularly Peter. Peter clearly becomes the focus in this passage of Scripture and at the end of Matthew 16 and into chapter 17. You know Peter, he's the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. Nobody ever got as much praise from Jesus as Peter. Nobody got as rebuked as Peter. I can really relate to Peter. And I don't know how the middle of this week went for Peter, but the bookends sure weren't going well. Sure didn't go well, should I say. He had a good start, though. Verse 13 says Jesus was in the region of Caesarea in Philippi, and Mark's gospel, and I'll be bringing his words in from time to time, it says they were walking along the road, and it was there that Jesus looked at all of his disciples, and he said, hey, who do men say that I am? I've been doing this stuff for a while. And everybody knows who I am. They're following me where I go. And so who do men say that I am? And so they start piping up right away. Well, that some say you're Elijah. And some say you're like Jeremiah. Others say you're one of the prophets. And they're just shooting out different individuals who they think Jesus is. Some even think you're John. And then Jesus narrows the vision to the disciples themselves. And he says to them, he says, yeah, but who do you say that I am? And Peter, always ready to pipe up, speaks up. And he says, well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And Jesus looks at him, he says, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't conjure that up on your own. But my Father revealed that to you. And then he pronounces a further blessing upon Peter and says, by this confession of yours, I'm going to build a whole church out of this deal. And the gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail against this. And Peter's feeling pretty good. The rest of the disciples think, and really, Jesus took it as an opportunity. You're right. I am the Christ. I am the anointed. I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to be rejected by the leaders, and they're going to beat me to a pulp, and they're going to nail me to a cross, and I'm going to die. But I will rise again. And Peter, he's feeling like he's got some authority now. He says, "Not you, Lord. This could never happen to you." Well, Peter fell down real fast. Because it was there at that moment, and you can look at it in your Bibles, where Jesus says to him in verse 23, he turned and said to Peter, by the way, Mark's gospel says that Jesus looked around at all the disciples, so he drew them all in, but then focuses right on Peter, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Can you imagine what was going through Peter's mind at this moment? "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You got to wonder what Peter was thinking. Now, Jesus is going to follow this with some of the greatest words that he ever uttered or were printed in Scripture. These are the words where he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever desires to lose his life for my sake," Mark adds, "and the gospel's, will find it." These are great words. Do you think Peter heard any of them? I don't think so. I think Peter is thinking, "He called me Satan. He called me Satan. What was he talking about?" If you want to follow God, I'll tell you something right now. You need to set your mind on the things of God. Because that last part of verse 23 is the key behind Jesus' rebuke of Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter had just rebuked Jesus and said, "Don't be talking about dying. That's crazy stuff." And Jesus replies by telling him, "Get behind me, Satan. You're mindful of the things of men, not of God." Paul will later on tell us to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. The point is that when we think worldly thoughts, listen to this, when we think worldly thoughts, we're not following God. In fact, we are energizing the influence of Satan in our lives. And we, in fact, become an offense to God. Jesus tells Peter, "You are an offense to me." This is right on the cusp of him pronouncing a blessing to him. I don't know about you. That's why I can relate to Peter. Have you ever been there? You're on the mountaintop. Something's happened. You've done something for God. You spoke up for God. You've received a blessing from the Lord. And you get so proud and bang, he just, you know, beats you down because you do something stupid. You think thoughts that are not of God. If you want to follow God, you better have thoughts. You better be thinking like God. And the only way you can think like God is to have his words in you, right? So set your mind on the things of God and set your life on the gospel of God. When Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, he needs to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever desires to lose his life for my sake, and as I mentioned in Mark's gospel, he adds, "and the gospels," they'll save that life. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth nor rust nor floods can take things away from you. So many of us are trying to follow God, but you're building little kingdoms here on earth. You're materialistic. You're thinking about things. You're thinking about stuff. You're making plans for 5 years and 10 years and 20 years from now. And you don't have the things of God. You don't have the gospel of God isn't important to you. But it's the gospel of God that builds things, that will build things up that will last forever. I was in a convenience store several years ago. And I don't know if it was right after church or what. But the attendant behind the counter asked me why I was all dressed up. So I said, well, it's part of my occupation, I said. He said, well, what is it? So I just played along. I said, what do you think it is? He said, are you a lawyer? I never knew I looked like a lawyer. I said, no. Then he said, well, are you into real estate? From a lawyer to a real estate. I'm just kidding. He says, are you into real estate? And I thought of something. I said, yeah, I am. Yes, I am. And he says, I'll bet you sell good property. I said, I do. He said, Florida? I said, oh, no, a lot better place than that. And I began to tell him of the place that neither moth nor rust can corrupt, or floods or thieves break through and steal. And gaining the whole world, as Jesus says here, is no match for the value of a soul. Look what he says. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? He doesn't say gain a whole city or a county or a state or a nation or an empire. He gained the whole world and you lose your soul. Your soul is more valuable than the whole world of stuff. And if you want to follow God, you got to set your mind on the things of God. You got to set your life on the gospel of God. It's eternal. And finally, you need to set your eyes on the Son of God. Jesus says in this very same context, verse 27, the Son of Man will come in glory, the glory of His Father with His angels, and He'll reward each one according to his works. And I'm telling you, there's some of you who are standing here that aren't going to taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Verse chapter 17, verse 1. 6 days later. Now, Peter's had a rough time. He's been on the mountain and then in the valley. He's been rebuked, called Satan. Satan was behind his thinking. And 6 days go by. Now, here's the other bookend. And Jesus invites him, along with James and John, up to a high mountain, possibly Mount Hermon. And there, he is transfigured, verse 2. That's the word where we get our word metamorphosis. It's an inside-out job where he just radiates. His face shone like the sun. His clothes like as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And by the way, Luke points out that Peter and James and John had fallen asleep. So this is what they woke up to. There's Jesus, shining brighter than the sun. And there's Elijah and there's Moses. The big three. Elijah, the great miracle-working prophet. Moses, the great lawgiver, and Jesus, the great miracle-working friend. By the way, it's interesting, isn't it, that it says there appeared Moses and Elijah appeared to them, and Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tents, three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I think it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus didn't introduce to Peter, James, and John Moses and Elijah. He didn't say, Moses, Elijah, this is Peter, and James. None of that. They just knew who they were. Little side note here, I wonder, I don't think there's going to be a need for any introductions in heaven. But notice what happens here. And by the way, Peter, if you're wondering what this was all about, theologians have tried to, well, maybe he was, you know, thinking back to the Feast of Tabernacles and, a place for you, Jesus, a place for Elijah, a place we'll build. If you read Mark's gospel, it says Peter didn't know what he was talking about. In fact, it literally says that. It adds, because he didn't know what to say. That was Peter. There's two kinds of people. People that have something to say and those who just have to say something. And that was Peter. Blah, 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 blah. That's about what it amounted to. Don't make a whole lot out of this, okay? And so with this, behold, verse 5, while he was still babbling, speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Hear him. This is my beloved Son. Not, these are the greatest of men. These are the spiritual men of the centuries. These are the greatest of prophets. No. Father God doesn't ever reference Elijah or Moses. I mean, that was a pretty big deal. The guys have been gone. Elijah for 850 years since he'd been whisked up into that chariot. And Moses has been dead for about 1500. And Father God doesn't reference either one of them. Instead, he says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." His voice stood out and demanded attention. Of course, they fell down in fear. Jesus had to come up, touch them, tell them not to be afraid. But look at verse 8. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. The message is clear. Their eyes needed to be on Jesus. I wonder if there is anyone in your life, some Elijah, some Moses, some big figure. Might be your husband, might be your wife, might be your kids, might be some great spiritual mentor. That God would need to remove from your life in order to see Jesus like he wants you to. God didn't send Jesus to be up there with Elijah and Moses, but to give him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. You want to follow God? Set your mind on the things of God. Set your life on the gospel of God, and set your eyes on the Son of God. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking right now, man, that would have been so cool to have been there. I would agree. And Peter thought about that. You think it's hard for you to say, oh man, if I could just be there to see Jesus in all his glory, that second coming glory, how awesome that would have been. Hey, what if you had been the generation that just followed this? How would you have liked to have been the group of people that trusted in Christ after the church began, after Jesus ascended into heaven? They didn't get to see Jesus, but they'd heard it just happen a couple of years earlier. Ooh, just missed him. Peter wrote to those individuals. In fact, he reminded them of what he saw in 2 Peter chapter 1. Here's what he said. He said, "We didn't follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." He's thinking about that moment on the Mount of Transfiguration that he actually saw. "For we received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven And when we were with him on that sacred mountain, hold it right there. What he's doing is Peter is taking his readers and he's telling them, I was there. I saw it. I witnessed the glory, the transfiguration, Jesus. The shedding off of Elijah and Moses and only Jesus. And you missed it. And so Peter says this in the very next vein. Listen to this. And we have a word of the prophets made more certain. You know where that word is? Most of you are holding it in your hands. And if you don't, it's called the Bible, the Word of God. And you do well to do what? Do what? Pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and you have at your disposal the very light of God that reveals the very Son of God that will take all the Moses out of your life, all the Elijahs out of your life, and look just at Jesus. And some of you need to do that today. You need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. You've never trusted him as your Savior. You've never seen yourself as a sinner. As you heard in the baptismal waters, you've never seen yourself as lost, separated from God. And you've never trusted him alone for your salvation. If you've never made that decision to place your trust in Jesus, do so this morning, today. All of us need to have our minds set on God. Amen. All of us need to set our life on the gospel. And all of us, our eyes upon Jesus. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, I right now want to pray for those who are here who have never turned to Jesus. They've got all kinds of things in their lives that distort their vision of him. It might be a Moses or an Elijah. It might be some special person or persons in their lives that they so admire, they so love, but they love them too much. It obscures the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would, from their hearts right now, these are individuals who know Jesus, but they've been distorted with stuff, and people. They would just right now, an act of confession, just say, Lord, I want to treasure you above all things and turn my eyes on you. And then there might be some here, Lord, who have never trusted Jesus as Savior. The biggest obscurity in their life is their own sin. The very thing that Jesus died for and rose again for. And if that's you while we're praying here, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've never bowed your heart to him, but you understand you're a sinner and you're lost, and you'd like to have your sins forgiven. Why don't you just right now in the quietness of your heart, confess your sin and tell the Lord Jesus that you're sorry for your sins. Tell him from your heart that you believe you're a sinner and you're lost. Tell him from your heart that you've put other things up there in front of him. Those are idols. You want to get rid of them. You want to place your trust in him. Believe in his death and resurrection for you. And ask him to come into your heart and save you right now. Never made that decision, do so right now. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, but your mind hasn't been set on him, your life isn't set on the gospel, your eyes just aren't on Jesus, do some readjusting right now, would you? And sing this with me. You recognize the song? Let's all stand. If God is touching your life, and you want to know Jesus as your Savior, I'm standing right here. You step out from wherever you're at. You come see me. There are people here that will go aside and pray with you. You can receive Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus, don't walk out of here not knowing him today. If you do know him, but your sights aren't set on him like they need to be, and you just want to talk to God and get him realigned today, we invite you to come up here and kneel and pray. We're going to sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus a couple of times, and then we'll sing a song that we sang earlier.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.